Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, June the 18th, 2026. 14 minutes past the hour, almost summertime here in the Midwest. What do we got? About 3 days away. How about that? Longest day of the year. Daylight hours in 3 days. So it is coming up very, very quickly. Do want to remind everybody, the Bobby Floyd Trio, hosted by Shauna McNamara, featuring artist LaCosta Mays and comedian Cameron Steele, will be at the May Pavilion at the Palace Theater on Saturday, June the 20th. Silent auction, 50-50 drawing, general admission $40, pre-sale only. Doors open at 6, entertainment at 6:30. This is an event you don't want to miss. I love this event. I've attended the last couple years. I plan to be there on Saturday night, and it is well worth going. Bobby Floyd is tremendous. He is Marion's only native-born Grammy Award winner. Marion's only native-born Grammy Award winner. And he is a huge, huge talent. So the Bobby Floyd Trio, comedy, local entertainment at the May Pavilion this coming Saturday, June the 20th. Doors open at 6 p.m., entertainment at 6:30. Also, the America 250 celebrations are coming up. Red, White, and You weekend here in Marion starts Thursday, July the 16th. Downtown's third Thursday goes Red, White, and Blue. That's 4:30 p.m. Friday, July the 17th, we have 3 p.m. It's Ottawa's Grand Homecoming. Now, I don't even know what that is. And it's not described on this paper, but that it doesn't even say where it is. But Ottawa's Grand Homecoming, 3 p.m. July 17th. If anybody knows what that is, give me a call, 740-383-9944. 4 p.m. on Friday, July 17th, Homecoming Picnic at the Harding Library and Museum. So that sounds exciting. Saturday, July the 18th, 10:30 a.m., a wreath-laying ceremony at the Harding Memorial. 12 p.m., OHIO, What a Celebration Birthday Block Party at the Exploratorium. That's 12 p.m. on Saturday, July the 18th. 7:30 p.m. on July the 18th, Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlatives at the Palace Theater. Marty Stewart, a well-known legendary name in the country music circles. He'll be at the Palace Theater on Saturday, July the 18th at 7:30 p.m. Then Sunday, July the 19th, 2 p.m., an old-fashioned ice cream social at the Women's Club home. That'll be at 2 p.m. And then 7 p.m., a concert in the park with United in Harmony at McKinley Park, 7 p.m. Sunday, July the 19th. So that's our big America 250 celebration. I guess that won't happen around July the 4th, probably in Marion because it coincides with the Marion County Fair. Plus, people want to see fireworks on July 4th anyway. And so our big America 250 celebration will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, July 16th through the 19th. And there you are. Those are the rundown of events. Now, I don't know what Ottawa's Grand Homecoming is, though, and it doesn't say where it is. 3 p.m. Friday, July the 17th. If anybody knows, let me know. 740-383-9944. But there's your news and notes, your community calendar, if you will, here on WGH Talk Radio. So that's that. All right. Well, yesterday we had a lot of talk on the show. We had former Governor Strickland and former Governor Celeste on the program yesterday talking about Mike DeWine, our current governor's decision to call on the legislature to abolish the death penalty. Everybody I talked to yesterday, Governor Celeste, Governor Strickland, I did talk to Mary Ellen about this last night during our taping. I talked with Greg Haas, who's a longtime strategist for the Democratic Party here in Ohio. Nobody really feels as if the legislature is going to pass this in an election year, but we'll see. We'll see at this particular point. And if anybody has any feelings on the death penalty conversation, feel free to give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, our more local topic yesterday, which it took us right up to the end of the program, and I'm not sure we even got everybody in on this, is the whole thing with the dumpsters here in Marion. Now, I still don't understand this, and I still not that it's really a big thing. I don't want to say that to minimize it, but okay, here's the story as we have it at this particular point. We'll come back to this momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you have to have your listeners call in and tell us what June 19th stands for.
Oh, do you think people know?
Well, I explained it last year on air, so...
Well, it's tomorrow. It is a holiday tomorrow.
Right, but that's the reason why we have the holiday.
You know, we've only had this holiday, what now, for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, you never used to hear of it, but, you know, it's commemorating a major event in the 1860s.
Well, I'll tell you what, if anybody knows, if we don't get the answer before the end of the program, you'll have to call back in because it's tomorrow. We'll be on the air tomorrow. But if anybody knows what Juneteenth is, the celebration tomorrow, somebody will have to let us know. But do you know what Ottawa's grand homecoming is?
No.
Well, the thing is, I'm sure it'll be a nice event, but it doesn't even say where it is, so I'm not... It tells you it's supposed to be 3 p.m. on July the 17th, but I don't know where it is or what it is.
Well, unless it's something that is done every year and they think people automatically know about it, but...
Well, I don't know if it is done. I think it's part of this red, white, and you 250th anniversary celebration.
Celebration?
Yeah.
It's
don't know.
Like Popcorn Festival, you know, if they have signs about the Popcorn Festival... You know, there's really no need to put downtown Marion there because everybody around here knows, you know, that's held downtown.
Right. I don't know. I mean, a lot of these events really aren't downtown, though. It's kind of interesting. I mean, Third Thursday is, but the Harding Library, that's not really considered downtown. The Harding Memorial's not downtown. The Palace would, the Women's Club is not downtown, and McKinley Park is not downtown.
Yeah, that's true.
So a lot of these events aren't taking place. Did you know Marty Stewart was coming to the Palace? I mean, that's a big name in country music, and here we are less than a month away. Well, really, I guess just about a month away from that event. I didn't know he was coming to the Palace on July, 18th?
Yeah, I heard you talk about, you know, the entertainment at the Palace. This new program director, or whatever, however his title is, you know, seems to be doing a good job.
Yeah, but I didn't know about it before this last weekend. Now I know Sarah Evans is coming. I know Marty Stewart's coming. I know that the Sugar Hill Gang is coming. I mean, a lot of really top-drawer entertainment in the next year. And... But I didn't know about it till last weekend.
Do you know what happened to the other guy, what he's up to?
Last I heard he left town.
But you don't know any more about it than that?
No, I mean, I think...
It'd be interesting to know, but then, you know, if it wasn't something good, you know, it'd be like petty, you know, to say that, but... You know, it'd be nice to know that he went on and, you know, found better things.
Well, I think he felt he had to get out of Marion because I think he felt that, and again, this is just me speaking, I think he felt that the fallout from that documentary was not good. Now, will that follow him other places? I don't know. I mean, we're getting further away from the time, but it's I can't imagine it's just a coincidence that he left or was removed within, what, 2 or 3 months of that documentary coming out?
Yeah. But there's people that did a whole heck of a lot worse, so.
Oh, it's not the worst thing in the world. He just came off bad in a documentary, and I think that he should not have not spoken. I think he should have apologized for how he came off. I don't know if that was ego or if that was people at the palace telling him not to speak. I don't know. People make that mistake all the time, and I don't know. Well, you know, you for as many times as you say you've got to speak, people don't. And it does hurt them in the long run. Certainly hurt him.
Most people. I mean, there's times, I guess, when things stay cover up, you know, that don't get around to the right ears, you know, to report on it. But
well, but you know what? If it's a story people want to know about, wherever it's reported, it will get out. But in that particular case, maybe he wasn't sorry. I don't know. See,
a lot of times the story gets out like that, and then a year or two down the road, you know, maybe they find out the person isn't as guilty or didn't do what they say they did and stuff like that. And a lot of times that's not reported back. Just the sensational thing that they are, you know, accused of, you know, and who it is. That gets out, but you know, 2 years later, if John Doe, you know, was found not guilty of what he was supposed to have done, well, that don't get reported a lot of times.
Well, that's a different situation. This was nothing that was ever going to be a court case.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just how he was perceived in a documentary. Now, if he was perceived as being uncaring, you would think you might want to apologize in a public place, but he just would not do that. And to my knowledge to this day, he's never done that. So, you know, I don't know why. And again, maybe he's not sorry. Maybe he thinks everybody else is wrong. I don't know. Some people have very big egos.
Yeah, but if he goes to another town, you know, it's not the big news as it was. You know, because he was working here in Marion. Born here in Marion?
What's that?
Was he born here in Marion?
You know, I think so, but the story had nothing to do with Marion that he was getting hit over the head with. I mean, it was not, the pressure was not coming from Marion, it was coming from national.
Yeah, but the Marion Palace is letting go. If the Marion Palace didn't let him go, he'd still be there.
Well, I think their stance is they didn't let him go. I think their stance is that he resigned.
Well, a lot of times you don't know. Sometimes they sign, you can't talk about a clause, what's that? What do they call that?
Non-disclosure, so you can get paid out. I don't know. Like I said, last I heard, he was planning on leaving town. Last time I knew, he was still in town, but he was getting ready to leave because he was not, I don't think he was particularly happy with how he had been treated. But
that one judge, he left town too, didn't he?
Warner? Warner? Yeah. Warner left town. Yeah. But I think he's doing well. By all accounts, I've heard of him. I think he's happy. I think he's found a church that he likes. I think his family is still together, last I knew. I think he's even had some kids that are a kid that has gotten married, a nice wedding. So I think he's more or less moved on.
His wife did pay a piper, so, you know, you got to... You might not be able to forgive totally, but you got to go on and not try to tear people down or something like that, just over something like that. If he got away scot-free, that'd be, you know, different. But, you know, they have paid a piper, and, you know, if you want to waste your time on trying to keep making him look bad, I mean, you're only going to be hurting yourself because you're keeping all that hate and anger in your system.
Well, I'll say this for Judge Warner. However you feel about that case, whether you feel he was wrong or right in his situation, he served the time.
Well, I definitely do think he's wrong. But
Well, right. But a lot of,
but
I mean,
he paid the piper, yeah.
Right. He well, I think, you know, it's a long story, but it's a lot of people feel that if he had not, if he was not the driver, which the court decided he was not, that going to prison for a first-time offender might have been a little bit of a harsh sentence, and that if he were not a judge, that would not have happened.
Well, probably not, but when you're, when you got a position like that, you should be, you know the law. I mean, that's your profession. You know, you should be held maybe at a little bit more higher standard than, you know, somebody else maybe.
Oh, it was a bad decision, no doubt about it. Bad decision.
If it was somebody else that, you know, took off like that, you know.
But you know, but listen,
well,
nobody
would have convicted that person. You know, how much time would he gave that person?
Right.
The very same thing.
Well, but that's what I'm. Nobody is saying what he did was right as far as leaving the victim. I'm not saying that at all. That's not right at all. But
and
what I'm saying is
the right thing by prosecuting him too.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you were the passenger in a car where somebody had been drinking and it happened to them, and I don't know that you would go to jail as the passenger in the car. I think you might get some prosecution.
Well, I agree with you there, but, you know, if you're a police officer and you commit a crime, I mean, you know better. That's what you arrest people for all day. So you need to be held, you know, to a higher standard.
Well,
and he didn't call to get that person any help.
Yes, and that's absolutely wrong.
So I can't really feel real that sorry for him. He paid his piper, and I don't think we need to crucify him no more.
Right.
You know,
well, and
I'm trying to look at it as the way it should be.
You know the problem with the court system in general. And it's just the way it is. We never really know. There have been some people who have been found not guilty. There have been some people who have been found guilty. There have some people who have went to prison. Some people who have not. Truthfully, you and I will never know what it, if these people
don't get reported on.
No, I'm just saying
the media wants to report on the sensationalism of it now, and then later on, whatever happens. You know, very seldom you ever hear anything.
I'm not saying that. I mean, I don't want to blame the media here. But what I'm saying is that truthfully, we will never know if they truly committed the crimes or not. We can have our opinion. We know what the verdict was. But we really don't know if they committed the crimes or not.
Well,
how do we know?
We do know both cars was involved in that. And we do know they didn't call and report nothing. And they didn't call until what, later the next day?
Right, and again, I'm not saying that's right. We do know that. I'm just saying that I don't know what the discussions were. I mean, his wife was driving. I think all people would probably try to protect their wife. I think that's a very human thing to do. It's not the right thing to do, but I don't know that.
Why you people get up in court all the time and lie. And, you know, if people will get held accountable for that, sometimes, you know, you might not do it. If you are in a car and you don't have a license and you give somebody else's, you know, information, you know, you can get in trouble for giving that cop that false information.
Right, but I mean, look at where we are. We're still talking about this 4 years later. The man has served his time. He's out of prison. He's living his life, law-abiding, as far as I know. And yet, we're still hashing this out. And
well,
I don't...
we're talking about it, but not in a bad way. Now, you keep wanting, you know, to take things different what I'm saying to make an argument about it.
No, I'm just saying I don't know what happened that night. Only the people involved do. And I think we are not fair to a lot of people in society when we say we've got to hold judges to a higher standard, we've got to hold politicians to a higher standard, we've got to hold police.
The same guy, same age, and he worked at Whirlpool, you know, he would have got treated probably worse than what the judge did.
Well, would he? I don't know. Because I don't know if you were a passenger in a car, not driving, when that happens, what would they have done? Would they have given you prison time?
Well, I bet you would have got something.
You would have got something, but would it have been the prison time?
Full-blown prison, but you should have got the full-blown prison. I mean,
right, but he got prison.
If you go in and rob a bank and you leave and she shoots somebody, you should be held just accountable as she is.
Well, that's
if
an account.
Your buddy will go in and rob a bank or do something, and the other guy does it. Maybe don't kill nobody. Maybe he does a lot of damage or destruction or something.
Well, that's
you
an accomplice.
Be held accountable.
Well, that's an accomplice to a crime, and maybe he should be held to that. But does the accomplice?
You don't think that was a crime when he?
Well, no. I gotta get a sentence in here. I'm saying that. Yes, I guess he would be considered an accomplice in that particular crime, but I don't know that the accomplices always get the same type of sentence that the person who committed the crime does. And I think in this particular situation, it was pretty well the same.
I agree with you, but I also agree with you that most of the time, the people that don't get the same, wouldn't get the same, you know, punishment out of it are more likely the richer class.
Okay,
it was just what made it a sensation is it was a judge and he actually got held accountable.
Well, now here's something from one of our listeners this morning. Witnesses saw Warner out of the car looking at the kid. This person has some documents involved in that. She was driving. DNA on the airbags. So, yes, Warner was there, but he was not the driver, and he did get out and look at the kid. Now, that shows an act of, I guess you can take that both ways. You
well,
can
I
say
think it's still a crime.
Well, see, and that's the problem.
You were involved in the party, the heading,
well,
and you go back there and you can't report that.
Well, you know, he went to jail. He's out now. I don't think it really matters.
No.
But
we don't need to crucify him anymore either. But, you know, what happened, you know, was right in that case.
So, in any event, how do you feel about the death penalty?
I think, I don't know why we wouldn't have to go about, you know, doing away with the death penalty. How often does it happen now?
Well, it hasn't happened since 2018, but I think the fear with Governor DeWine is that Ramaswamy has said in the most extreme cases that he would go back. He would lift the moratorium, and he would go back to using the death penalty.
Well, I think it could be used a little bit more anyhow, but
well, every governor
make a big difference, you know.
Well, did you listen yesterday?
Nope.
Well, Strickland was on and Celeste were on, and they both agreed.
Yeah, I heard you doing the interviews, but.
Well, they both agreed with DeWine, and they both said the biggest regret in their gubernatorialships was not doing away with the death penalty. Because of all. Strickland talked about the guy they were trying to kill, and he had to stop it because they couldn't kill him. They kept going on and on and on and on because lethal injection doesn't always work as it's supposed to. And he also talked about the person who he did back off of because he still believes the person was innocent and they were going to execute him.
They euthanize dogs all the time. Do we have that problem when they euthanize dogs?
what?
I mean, if your mom got killed by somebody, especially if it was really, really violent and sadistic, you think we ought to just...
Yeah, but you know what? I think that's what everybody always says, but that's horribly flawed. Somebody said that to me the other night when I brought this up. And you know what's interesting? That's horribly flawed logic. Because if I've got skin in the game, of course I'm going to feel different. But of course,
right.
But you know what? If Judge Warner were my father, I'd probably feel differently about that too. I'd probably think he shouldn't go to jail.
Right.
So you,
but that's not doesn't mean it's the right thing. It might be the right thing for you.
Right, but so why would I make a death penalty decision on something for based solely in my personal feeling? I shouldn't do that.
Well, everybody else is going to make a decision, and if somebody don't have no skin in the game, their decision is going to be...
Right. They're going to make a right decision.
But
they're,
let it happen to them, then they'll get on the bandwagon.
Well, yeah, but that's the problem. You shouldn't be making a decision because you've got anger because it happened to you. You should
wouldn't
be making
have been
a decision.
That spot to make that decision if some little asswipe didn't do. Now I'm starting to sound like another guy on the show.
Here we go.
You know, did that. You wouldn't have been involved in it.
If it's a family...
So he bought it on itself, just like I watch these things on YouTube where people get pulled over and they don't want to identify themselves and they have to break out
okay.
their window
well,
let me drag them out.
Let me ask you, if you're accused of murder and you can't afford the proper lawyers, which, by the way, that's a problem with it as well. If you can afford a good lawyer, chances are you're not going to get the death penalty.
Right. That's why I say the richer class always gets by.
Yeah, but that's the way it is. So,
that's the way it is. So Judge Warner getting held accountable?
But we're talking about the death penalty here. So we think that you should be killed just because you can't afford a lawyer.
No, that's wrong.
Well, no,
and
that's we got to do that.
Happen, but... You know, there's people that get away with things and they never get no justice to it either. It goes both ways. It's just like any program. I don't care if it's a blind man's program. You don't think there's ever been any fraud in that program at one time?
Well, I hope
any
not.
Any program you have, especially if it's a big program, it's going to be hit with fraud. But just because there's a few cases of fraud, just like a few cases of votes being not right, and it's less than 0.00, you know, whatever percent, you know, just doesn't mean, well, we're going to do away with voting.
Well, but I don't think that's the point here. I think the point is that if you are poor, you have a much higher chance of being executed than somebody who's rich. I think
yep.
if you are not white, you have a much higher chance of being executed than somebody
yep.
who's white for doing the same crime, by the way. I
yep.
think that the problem is that we have learned that the drugs for lethal injection don't always work properly, and that can be torture. And by the way, that's against the Constitution for people who like to wave the Constitution. No cruel and unusual punishment. Well, I think that would fall under cruel and unusual punishment. That's not something we're supposed to
well,
do in this country.
Well, it doesn't matter how you would kill them. It'd be cruel and unusual punishment.
Well, that's one of the...
I'm talking about the death penalty.
And that's one of the biggest arguments against the death penalty.
You give them a half dozen choices, and they pick one they want to go. And if it happens to be something that takes them a long time to die, that's on them. If they would have picked the better one, that's on, you know... I don't like to see poor people, and it's the fact that, you know, they will get more accountable than anybody.
Well,
like, you know,
let me
than
just
any rich man.
You know, let me get this question in. Let's say you are accused of murder, and a jury finds you guilty, and you are not guilty. Should we just kill you anyway?
After the appeals are up.
So even if you didn't do it,
they got 20 years to do appeals.
I'm telling you, Governor Strickland said yesterday, and I can get you the man's name, who was going to be killed, and if he had not intervened, it would have happened.
Yeah. And I hate that.
Well, I do more than hate it.
But that's not a reason to do away, you know, there's people that are accused of murder and that they never did it. So we should not arrest anybody for murder anymore.
Does the death penalty stop murder in any way? Have the crime rates ever went down with the death penalty in place?
I don't know. I never took a poll on that.
No. No, they haven't. So what's, it is not a deterrent, which is what they always said. It'll be a deterrent for people not to murder people. Well, that's not the case.
Well, sometimes it's not just a deterrent. You know, if your family gets the privilege of somebody paying the piper for the deed that they've done, sometimes that gives families a little bit.
And by the way, it does cost more, as Governor Strickland said yesterday, costs more to execute somebody than to have them life in prison.
Well, how much does it cost more to execute them?
Because
the appeals, is that what you're putting in there?
Yes, you have to get all the appeals in, and you have to get all the court-appointed lawyers. You also have to house them while they're waiting to go to the death penalty, which takes about 20 years.
Didn't I say there's always, any program you have, there's always bad things about it.
But I guess...
But you can't do... We can't do away with law just because, you know, somebody got beat up by a cop or shot by a cop. But that doesn't mean, well, we're going to do away with
it. Well, I think the legislature can do away with the law. And I think that's what Governor DeWine was asking them to do.
Repeat that again.
I said, I think the legislature can do away with this law, and that's what the governor was asking them to do.
I didn't say that law. I'm saying law. If a cop ever kills somebody that didn't deserve to be killed, it's not a reason for every city to do away with police forces. And then we're out in the Wild West, and we settle these grudges ourselves then.
Okay, here we go.
There's bad things to any program that you're going to always find something to put out there in a hypothetical form to get a point across.
Well, here's not hypothetical from one of our listeners this morning. 12 people in the United States have been exonerated after their execution was carried out for the crimes they were convicted of. Can't exactly unring that bell from a listener this morning.
I hate that, but what I'm saying is 12 people in the United States, out of how many people that's been arrested for murder? What's the percentage of that?
So that's just an egg that has to be cracked, is what you're saying? We're going to have to kill people who are innocent just to get to the ones who are guilty?
What's going to happen?
Well, but it doesn't have
unless
to happen if you
just,
don't...
Unless we totally want to get rid of all police forces...
No.
And we're not going to hold nobody accountable for murder or any other
crime. Wait a second. That, nobody's saying do away with police forces. Nobody is saying don't hold people accountable. There is life in prison without
parole.
But
that would do away with the 12 people that got killed by our courts.
Right, it would.
And the death penalty, it'd do away with that.
Right, but we're not saying do away with the police, and we're not saying doing away with life in prison. We're just saying...
And you're always going to come up with the situation that you want it to say.
If you don't have the death penalty, how do you kill anybody?
If there's no death penalty, how you kill somebody?
Yeah.
You take a gun, you go up in their head, and you blow a little...
Right, but that's illegal.
Hole in their head.
You would go to prison for that.
Not if we're going to do away with it, because one person out of a million people got crucified because he was innocent.
Well, you know what? If I'm the one innocent person, frankly, I don't want to be killed. And I'm not saying let anybody out of prison. I'm just saying, what is the point of killing them? I don't understand why...
Justice. It can make you feel better. How many times you see in court where the father gets up and attacks the guy killed his damn daughter? When he beats the hell out of that guy who kills him, that's going to make him feel better. And I'm sorry, you know, if he killed your daughter, you know, he does deserve to be killed.
Well, I don't know. You know,
until it's your daughter.
Right. Well, again,
you get Scott, when you get married, when you have a daughter, wait until it's your daughter.
Again, I think this is why you should never go to somebody who's had a personal experience with this, because they are going to have a different feeling about it. But if you go to somebody who's making a rational decision on this, who doesn't have any skin in the game one way or another, I think it's very interesting that the majority of those people, I think nearly 60% in Ohio now, oppose the death penalty.
Right, and they change their tune if all 60%. Had that happened to them, they'd change their tune.
Right, but that's not...
But should those people be making our laws then?
No.
Because they're not smart enough. It's just like that kid that you reported on about that that speech, valedictorian speech he made. That kid had it right on. He seen what was going on in society and the faults and how people in the school was, you know, was treated different and stuff like that. He had a... If you can't see it, then there's... Well, a lot of people just can't see it. That's the problem.
Well, no, you're allowed to say it.
You grew up with a golden spoon in your mouth, you know. But I don't think that kid, being valedictorian, grew up in a real bad situation, and it's a wonder he could see the world like it was.
All I'm saying is that every governor, Republican and Democrat, in this state right now, except Governor Kasich, to my knowledge, Governor Celeste, a Democrat, Governor Taft, a Republican, Governor Strickland, a Democrat, and now Governor DeWine, a Republican, have all said that the death penalty does not work, it's not a deterrent, it doesn't work properly, and it needs to be abolished. Now,
I'm sure it deters some people.
How often do Democrats and Republicans agree on something like that?
Well, does that mean going to war with Iran? I'm sure all the cabinet didn't come out and say that was wrong or that was right. But for the war crimes, do we convict everybody on that cabinet? Well, we probably should, but it wouldn't happen.
Well, if there are war crimes, I think somebody will bring it up.
Right, but not everybody's going to get convicted of it.
Well, and that's another problem. I mean, I just don't know that anybody... I don't know if the government should be killing people by the right of the people. Especially when we know innocent people have been killed. I don't know who gave the government that authority.
Yeah, but that's just your opinion.
Well, no, that's Governor DeWine's opinion. I don't really have an opinion on the death penalty. No, I don't have an opinion on the death penalty. I'm telling you what Governor DeWine is saying. And also, I feel...
Yeah, Governor DeWine didn't come back with, what is this? You're telling...
Well, no, he's not here this morning.
You're trying to get that side in there to keep this going.
Well, to keep...
You don't want to admit that there's crime and fraud in every system. And whatever you do is not going to make 100% right.
No, what I'm trying to do...
But our system has held out for 250 years until we got some asshole in as president.
Right, but what
and
I'm...
We'll be lucky if our system is even there if he finishes out his four terms and gets his cronies, his MAGA nutheads that, you know, quit school in the eighth grade, go out there and fight for him.
Well, I guess
so
what
can stay in office.
But I don't think all those people are uneducated and things of that nature.
No, what, not all of them are, but most MAGA supporters, especially now, are uneducated, especially now.
I guess the point I'm trying to make here is you seem to be very pro-death penalty, and I am trying to give the opposing viewpoint as to why the government, the governor...
And
wants
I'm
to
trying
do away
to give the opposing viewpoint on why it should be, we should still do the death penalty.
Well, then we've done
You're making a point. I'm coming back with a point.
That's okay. But it's not how I feel.
Whatever we do is not going to be 100% right.
Right, but I it's not how I feel about the death penalty.
You're coming back with what about this, what about
right,
this?
Well, I'm trying to give the other side of the argument.
No, I'm trying to give the other side, too, when I come back.
Okay. Well, then I'm with you.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, there you go, 53 minutes. Past the hour here this morning. Holy moly. Started out with community calendar this morning. I'll tell you, this death penalty thing gets under people's skin. It does. I was having the conversation, as I said, the other night with somebody. And that's always where people go. When you try to give the opposing viewpoint, they say, well, has somebody in your family been killed? What if somebody happened, if that happened to you, what would happen? Go ahead, caller.
Okay, watch me play both sides of the fence.
Oh, watch out!
Okay, I'm not morally opposed to eye for an eye type, you know, if you take a life and it's proven whatever. However, I'm with you as far as the government is flawed, and I'm not sure that, you know, human beings are the best to determine when we should take other people's lives. I'm more into, like, Old West justice. You know, they shoot your husband or your family and you go hunt them down kind of thing. So we don't do that. That's illegal. So we have laws and such. Financially, my issue is how much it costs. The death penalty process costs. The whole entire trial and everything else is much more expensive. There are more rigorous standards that are held. I mean, every time there's a hearing, you need a court reporter and a transcriptionist, all that sort of stuff. There's just a lot more administrative costs to do a death penalty trial. Then, as you said, all the appeals. And if you have a good lawyer and you have lots of money, then you get great appeals. And if you get somebody else that has 150 clients that are in the same boat, or, you know, maybe they've never done one of these or something like that. And then you said just the fact that someone innocent might be killed. Benjamin Franklin said it's better that 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man should suffer.
And I think so that's Mike DeWine's argument.
I'm kind of with old Ben on that one.
Why, so and Governor DeWine.
Ben Franklin's got more street cred with me than Mike DeWine.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that Governor DeWine helped co-sponsor this bill, the death penalty bill, and also helped write it in 1981, when it got reinstated, the death penalty in Ohio, and yet he's the one to call for it to be abolished. I think that's a great irony.
Well, he's served in many different roles in government since then. And, you know, it's one thing to make the laws, but as, you know, he's pardoned or commuted sentences or things like that, it's another thing to actually take the life, to be the one that's responsible for allowing it to go through. And I imagine that's a much different burden than someone that's sitting in Columbus just passing laws. So, and let's all remember, this is coming from someone whose mother was murdered. So there wouldn't be any way that you could change my mind on this one. Now, morally, I understand the retribution point, and I guess at this point I just leave it up to, hopefully we all pay for our sins in the end. But
so you're against the death penalty?
Strictly from a financial perspective, it does not make sense to try people for the death penalty. I mean, they sit in prison for 30 years and we execute them when they're on death's door anyway. I say throw them out in gym pop and let them wing it. Let them make it on their own. You know, let them figure out how to live in a normal prison life as opposed to their little cell where they're all alone and safe. Make them look over their shoulder and make them wonder if they're going to get shanked. You know, that sort of stuff. Make them have to go fold sheets or make license plates or pick vegetables or do whatever. Make them have to live the same punishment, retribution, whatever it is that we consider prison. They shouldn't get to sit in their room and sketch all day.
But, you know, and I think about this a lot. I mean, we were talking about Judge Warner earlier, and we only have about 2 minutes left in this hour. But it's always interesting to me. We talk about Judge Warner. We talk about something very insignificant, like the last palace director. We talk about a lot of people who've been accused of crimes over the years in this area that turned into high-profile situations. And no matter what the verdict is, whatever it comes back, truthfully, if none of us were there when the crime was committed, none of us will ever really know if it was true or not. Now, we can have our opinions, but we will never truly really know. And the thing about that...
Well, the burden in a trial, though, is beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, short of video, no, we'll never know. But if, you know, your face is clawed up and your DNA is underneath the dead person's fingernails and they find you with the knife in your hand and blood all over your body, it's more reasonable than not that you... killed that person.
Right, and, you know. Right, and everybody can always draw their conclusion. But I guess my point is, most trials are not cut and dry like that.
I wouldn't want the responsibility of taking another person's life. I wouldn't want to sit on a death penalty trial. I couldn't do that.
Well, I just think that it's interesting because I even the people who have been found not guilty, I'm sure there have been people who have been found not guilty who were. So, you know, I don't know.
And that goes back to our imperfect justice system. I mean, we could point to O.J. Simpson. I'm sure we all have our theories and opinions on that. You know, whether it was good, bad, or in between. But I think Casey Anthony would be another one. You know, did she do it? We all strongly believe one way or another. I think that the verdicts in both of those trials were shocking and shows that, you know, public perception maybe isn't always the reality of what's going on inside a courtroom.
Well, and interestingly enough, if they didn't do it, the rest of their lives have been ruined.
Exactly.
So there you go. Well, thanks for calling.
Bye, Scott.
All right, we're going to break. We're back right after this.
Place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed.